The word of God that guides us is that epistle lesson from Philippians, the second chapter. We examine it under the theme, live for others. My friends, a wise man once observed, there are two types of people in the world. Those who come into a room and say, well, here I am. And those who come in and say, ah, there you are. My friends, that comment sharpens our understanding of people. There are those who look out for themselves and live for themselves. And there are those who look out for others and live for others. Now, perhaps a couple illustrations will help us understand this. How many of you have ever heard of Anna Ayala? Anna Ayala. Ever heard of her? Okay. Well, you have, but you've forgotten. That's okay. I'll tell you the story and then you remember. She's the California woman who several years ago claimed that she found a finger in her bowl of Wendy's chili. Now you remember that story? Her claim led many to stop eating at Wendy's. In fact, it caused the fast food chain to lose nearly $2.5 million in sales and led to the layoffs of many Wendy's employees. Later on, an investigation revealed that the whole thing was a hoax. Ayala had carried out a selfish scheme to collect money from the Wendy's Corporation. So she was subsequently charged and convicted for grand larceny and spent several years in prison. But let's not dwell on the negative. Have you heard of what happened the other day in the Little League World Series Southwest Regional Championship game between Oklahoma and Texas East? How many saw that story on television? Ah, several of you. Good, good. It's a great story. Oklahoma's Isaiah Jarvis was struck in the head, boom, by a wicked pitch from Texas East pitcher Kaiden Shelton. After laying on the ground for a while and then shaking it off and walking to first base, Jarvis realized that Kaiden, the pitcher, was visibly upset by what had happened. He was upset that he had hurt this other guy. So he called timeout, Jarvis did, and walked to the pitcher's mound, hugged his opponent, shared some encouraging words, and consoled him. Now, if you get a chance to watch the clip on YouTube, you should. It's really something. By doing this, young Mr. Jarvis demonstrated amazing sportsmanship and concern for others. What a contrast. Miss Ayala and Mr. Jarvis. We live in a world where some live for themselves and others live for others. Of course, if you're still not convinced of this reality, I would challenge you to simply get behind the wheel of your car and in a simple trip between Byron and Rochester, you will encounter both types of people, right? You will encounter some who are looking out for themselves. That's the folks in a hurry, weaving in and out of traffic and creating a real hazard without any concern for the safety of those around them. And you will encounter those who are looking out for others. That's the person who sees your turn signal on and motions you to merge into the lane in front of them. Yes, we live in a world where some look out for themselves and live for themselves, and where others look out and live for others. The big question, however, is where does God come down on this issue? That's right. How would God have us to live? Focused on self or focused on those around us? Well, my friends, the Apostle Paul gives us a very simple answer to that question in our text today. He declares, do nothing, nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Of course, some in our world might ask, where did St. Paul get such a radical idea? The answer lies in our text. Paul goes on to say, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Incredible. When Jesus Christ stepped into human history, our history, he didn't say, here I am. He said, in effect, there you are. He focused on us because the mission of his life was to redeem lost and broken sinners like you and like me. His mission was to restore people to a right relationship with his heavenly Father. Therefore, he came to take on human form so that for us he might take on the nature of a servant and become obedient even to death. Death on the cross, dying for our sins, shedding his blood for you and me, that the blood of Jesus would cleanse us from our sins and restore our perfect relationship with our Creator, our Heavenly Father. Yes, my friends, Jesus' focus was not on himself, but poor, miserable sinners like Nate Schwartz. Poor, miserable sinners like you. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's why we see Jesus. Jesus came for others. He came to serve others and to seek and to save the lost. And that's why we see Jesus healing the sick. That's why we see Jesus feeding the hungry, casting out the evil spirits, washing his disciples' feet, suffering, bleeding, and dying on the cross for our sins. Yes, Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to forgive us. And that's why he instituted the sacrament of the altar, that he might come to us one on one and give us his body broken and his blood shed in with and under the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of our sin, of our guilt, and of our shame. Yes, Jesus came not for himself, but for you and for me, to redeem us from sin, death, and the devil, and win for us an eternal home in heaven, not built by human hands. And now, my friends, that very Jesus that came to serve others calls us to do the same. Again, listen to the words of St. Paul. Each one of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Christian friends, do you realize that serving Christ by serving others is exactly what we promised to do when we spoke our confirmation vows? Now, for some of us, that wasn't that long ago. For some of us, that was a long, long time ago. Do you remember what you were asked? Do you intend to be faithful in the use of God's word and sacraments? Excuse me, I got ahead of myself. Do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the divine word? Listen to that. Do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the divine word? And in faith, word, and action, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death. And we responded, I do so intend by the grace of God. In this way, you and I promise to look out for and live for others. Yeah, and promising to follow Jesus and to conform our life to Jesus' life, we truly promise that we would live a life of service. We would live a life where we put others before ourselves, just like Jesus. Now, that might sound difficult, right? But there's good news for us. It's a part of the vows I omitted, which I started to read just a minute ago. Do you intend to be faithful in the use of God's word and sacraments, which are his means of grace? There's the answer. My friends, God doesn't ask you and me to live for others by our own power and strength. He doesn't say, live for others. You know, use your intestinal fortitude. You can do it. No. He says, live for others as you are empowered by my Holy Spirit, who creates in you a new heart. Live for others as my Spirit works in your life through God's word, my word, and my sacraments to strengthen you to follow Jesus, to love like Jesus unconditionally, to serve like Jesus self-sacrificially. Yes, it is the Holy Spirit who works through means of grace, the means of grace, word and sacraments, so that we can live lives of serving our neighbor. We can live lives in which we don't say, here I am, but rather say, there you are. So rejoice, people of God. There is hope. We may struggle with our sinful flesh that encourages to focus on self. Here I am. But when we stumble and fall and confess our sins, God is faithful. God is just. He forgives us. We can be certain of it. It comes to us in the sacraments. Washes away our sins, robes us in his righteousness, and empowers us with his Spirit to live new and different lives. Lives in which we don't say, here I am, but rather say, there you are. I love you. I share the love of Christ with you. I serve you in order that I might be Jesus with skin onto you, and that Jesus' love and his forgiveness and his hope and his peace and his salvation can be real to you. May God grant it for Jesus' sake in your life and in mine. Amen. And now